So it's the Anshei Kodesh too. We have to be Anshei Kodesh, not Malachim Kodesh. And then we need to know when Hashem brings upon us Yisurim. Zumatana Niflo, it's a wonderful gift. Shay Yisurim Makar Maitana Love Lishu. It gets us closer and closer to Hashem. And that way you get to cleave to the creator of the universe. Okay, that's how we finished off yesterday. Let's see how we take this further. Remember, we're trying to answer the question is, if Yisurim are so precious and so wonderful, we should go looking for them. Sort of slam your thumb in the door every day, you know, so you can have a bit of Yisurim. What are you doing, bashing your head against the wall in order to have Yisurim?
As a matter of fact.
It's good.
That's where the rolling pin smacked. Yeah. Came late last night.
Got the wrong milk.
Okay, so why is it that we don't ask for Yisurim? So let's chance it. We double not have them. Yeah. Which you'll have to understand, it's not so posh. Because Yitimtzalayim Yisurim Hay Matana Umetanim Makablim Lo Mevakshim. If the Yisurim are a gift, so you don't ask for presents. You get them, but you don't ask for them. Yisurim Hay Matana Kol Gedoyla Ad She'osu Levakesh Otom. Yisurim are so precious, they are such an unbelievable gift, you don't have to ask for them. Am yachadim zois, kashe anachdem akablim yisurim, aleinu lekablem ba'ava besimcha kadma keom matana. You don't have to ask for them, but if you get them, you have to receive them, like they're a very precious gift. Rebbe Kiva agia lakorazu b'shleimus. You're looking for a Rebbe for this, so Rebbe Kiva is the perfect example. Hu havin es ha'utzma tmuna kan ve'es goydel ha'metona klule b'yisurim. He understood the enormous treasure hidden in Yisurim. At she'ishtoykek lekablam kadana mishtoykek lekablam metona. He was mamash. Kol yom ha'isi mitztayeh. His whole life he was upset. Matay yom v'leday posuk zeh v'akameno. When am I going to be able to... In the Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava at Kol Kadol. That's Rebbe Akiva. You don't ask for it, but you want it. Because you understand how precious it is. And then you daven not to get it, even that wasn't answered yet. We've answered why you can't ask for it. But we haven't answered why we daven not to get it. Those are two different things, right? It's a gift, and I don't ask for it, but I can want it. No, daven that you don't get the gift. That's a different darga. Not asking for a test, we understand. But asking not to get it, we haven't answered yet. Rebbe Kiva wanted it. He wasn't davening not to get it. He wanted it. He just, you know, that asked, they didn't ask. Because if you ask, you fail, that's for sure. We need to discuss sometimes why that is like that. Well, why ask not to get it?
Hashem wants to give it to us. By saying, by davening we don't want it, it's ungrateful. From my perspective, I wanted to give something to one of my children, and they kept on saying, please just never give it to me. Please never give me this thing.
You should be proud of them. They don't want gifts. You should be very proud of them. I don't want it. Don't buy me a bicycle. Very proud of them. But you're right. The whole thing's a kasha. He hasn't answered the kasha. He hasn't answered that kasha. He's explained why you don't ask for it. And there's many reasons why, even better reasons why you don't ask for it. Aval, why do we ask not to get it if the getter is matana? I don't know. You have to accept it by Ava, if I'm understanding you correctly, and know that it's a precious matana, and then daven that it goes away. No, that's what I'm asking, but that's your question. If this is so precious and it's such a wonderful thing and it's helping me get close to Hashem, why am I davening it should go away? Yeah, good question.
Not that it's easy to answer. I'm not, but maybe a possible idea is that you mentioned three steps that we realise it's a misunderstanding, it's an amazing thing, but we start to go away, but I just don't think we realise it. We go straight to step three. We just see it as like a problem. So you say, that's why we say, shame, you know, that it should go away, because we don't appreciate
no, but we do. It's built into the tefillah. We daven that Hashem should remove these sorim of Adam. You have a chiyuv to daven. You have a chiyuv to daven. In fact, according to Rishonim, that's the only time you have a chiyuv to daven. I can't remember who it's, the Ramban or the Rambam. Who holds it? There's no mitzvah deraisa to daven except when you have tzar. The Rambam paskins like that. You always mix it up. The Rambam holds, we saw it here. Rambam holds you have no chiyuv to daven deraisa. Unless Yisurim come upon a person. When Yisurim come upon a person, then you have a chiv deraisa to daven. That's the only time you have a chiv to daven. As, but are we davening that Yisurim should be taken away? You're not davening that your child should get better, or that she should find a shidduch, or that the Rebbe should go and leave, or whatever it is that you, whatever it is that your Yisurim is, or whatever.
So davening is defined as a bakasha. If I thank Hashem, that's not...
Bakash rachamim. Thanking Hashem is thanking Hashem.
That's not davening.
That's part of davening, yeah. Davening is made up of thanking Hashem. That's why we first praise Hashem and thank Hashem. Those are the first three brachas each one of us, right? And then we ask for our requests. That's all part of what's
so
called
things
tefillah.
Are going good. One can thank Hashem, and that's
even when things are going bad, you got to thank Hashem.
I understand.
We're asking, why do we daven to take away the yisurim if they're so precious? If I gave you $1 million and you understand the value of $1 million and what you can buy with $1 million, yeah? And you know it's a matana. Why would you daven for Hashem to take it away? That's what we're saying. Okay. So
we don't know it's $1 million.
We just learned. That's why we don't ask for it, because we know it's a matana. And you know that I ask for matanas. That's why we don't ask for Yisurim. That's why we don't ask for Yisurim. But the Olam's asking, but then why do we daven to take it away? And not only that, why do we daven not to get it? I understand you can't daven to get it. But why do we daven not to get it? Just keep quiet. Rabbi Akiva was mamash yearning for Yisurim. He's not allowed to ask for it. But he never davened that it shouldn't happen, because he wanted it. Kol Yom Av Tzar, he was, but Tzar, when am I going to keep the, when am I going to do this Kabbalah Yisurim Ba'ava Ad Kadei Kach? B'chol Nafshecha. So we basically don't understand what he's saying. That's essentially what we've come to the conclusion. We don't like his pshat. That the reason why we don't ask for Yisurim, because it's a matana, you don't ask for matana. So, the truth is you're right. It's also to daven. Had it not been a mitzvah to daven, it would have been also legamra, a chutzpah otzum to get up and daven. You're right. We have a chiv to daven. What can I do? You're right. First of all, how do you know what to daven for? How do you know what's good for you? How do you know what you need? So you're davening for things that are bad for you. So but Hashem says you've got to daven. You've got to work out based on what you think, your analysis of the situation, what's good for you based on who you are, and you've got to daven for that. And then Hashem will decide whether to give it to you or not, because it's good for you, it's not good for you. Hashem wants our input and our involvement and our understanding of our lives. That's why we daven for those things. But in Achinami, it's a chutzpah otzim to daven. Davening for other people is even a bigger chutzpah. This guy's lying in bed sick. That's the best thing that could be happening to you, right? Otherwise he wouldn't be sick. And you got to tell Hashem, no, you're wrong. I'm sorry, I disagree, make him better. If you think about it, every tefillah you ever daven is an argument with Hashem. You're arguing with Hashem. You think Hashem, I don't agree.
Isn't that the midas of Sodom?
No, that's the Chiyuv Deraisa according to the Ramban and the Chiyuv Derabbanan according to the Rambam, that you have to do three times a day and more than three times a day. It wasn't understood. You have a Chiyuv to go argue with Hashem.
They're the ones who
you
said,
you're not rebuilding Yerushalayim, Hashem, but Boinei Yerushalayim. Why don't you get Hashem to rebuild Yerushalayim? Hashem said, no, I don't care. I want to rebuild Yerushalayim. You have to have a vikuach. Moshe Rabbeinu got up and davened 515 or how many was it? 515 tefillahs. I want to go judge yourself.
None.
That's what tefillah is. Tefillah is you rebuilding your atzinus. Okay, that's another question. Where does the, you just plug tefillah into you? Tefillah becomes. We don't even know why we daven bichlal anymore. What are you davening for? Hashem's only going to give you what's good for you. So So if it's good for you, he'll give it to you, even if you don't ask. And if you don't, and if you ask when it's not good for you, he's not going to give it to you. So we're back to the primordial, original question of why we daven. That's not our subject now. We've dealt with it. We had the whole chapter on Tfilah Boteach and why people have betochen have to still daven. Fine, but that's another subject. You're right. I don't. Any maskim, any law. No, that's another question. Now you're asking why Adam Arishan had to daven for rain before it would rain. That we're not dealing with now. I mean, yeah, no, I'm not going down there. That we've dealt with. Sorry. Why we have to ask Stam, why we have to daven, that's another subject. We're just asking, yeah, why you daven not to have Yusuri. That's our question. Good. We haven't answered that question. I agree. Everyone can carry on living with the question hanging in the air. To answer the question. Go search for answers. Understand why, you've got to get this clear. There's two different questions, and then we'll move on. Understand why you can't ask for the Yisuri. This is because you can't ask for a present. I've got better answers. Not my answers that I've heard from. Why you don't ask for Yisuri, and why when you ask for Yisuri, you have to fail. Chazal teaches that by David HaMelech. He asked for a test, that's why he had to fail. Can't ask for a test. That we understand you shouldn't ask. The question is, why are you asking not to have the Yisuri? Okay. Somebody mentioned it yesterday. Could be one approach. We know there's two ways to serve Hashem and Dovruk and Hashem. There's Torah and Mitzvahs, and then there's a higher level called Yisuri. Yeah? We're worried that if we'll get the Yisurim, it'll prevent us from getting close to Hashem. There's a danger in Yisurim. We may get it wrong. And therefore, it's safer not to have Yisurim and just to have Yishuv Adas and Ruchas and Nefesh to be Oisek in Torah and Mitzvahs, because that's a much safer path. It's hard to get it wrong in Torah and Mitzvahs. It's very hard to get it right in Yisurim. So it could be that's why we're davening for the Yisurim, because we prepare to forego the higher level, because you want the safe path. It may be an approach. So this was bandied about a little bit yesterday, this idea.
Just as much as mitzvahs to mitzvahs
kavana, I can rely on the chayy adam. There's plenty ways to get Torah and mitzvahs right without jumping off the edge of a cliff. Yisurim can bring a person to apikosa, can bring a person to many. It's a dangerous path. It must be, because the reward's so much bigger. So there are these two paths. There's And so it could be, I'm just suggesting something here, I could be horribly wrong. Just suggesting, could be that when we're davening, don't give me Yisurim, is because when I have a migraine, I know that it doesn't draw me close to Hashem, and therefore, leave me not having a migraine so I can sit and learn and I'll get to Hashem that way. Maybe.
Not just that, though, it prevents a person from doing mitzvahs, and that also bothers the person.
What?
If a migraine headache, they're so incapacitated, they can't daven, they can't do anything.
You said so, yeah. So that's those Yisurim brings you closer to Hashem than the daven.
Because that's Raton Hashem. That should be like that at that point.
So that suffering is bringing you closer to Hashem,
right,
than the Torah mitzvahs you've been doing.
Right, absolutely.
The danger, though, is that the suffering could bring you to be kaifa as well, Khalil.
He's saying if I lie in bed doing nothing, that's better than that would be a higher level than learning.
Lying in bed doing nothing is a higher level than
learning. With
a
migraine. With a migraine.
If Hashem incapacitated you, not if you incapacitate yourself.
No.
Hashem incapacitated you through Yisurim. You said that.
That's your avodah.
Balatanya said that. Mufurush. That's your avodah. That's v'chaybehem. Lishmo. That's a much higher darga of dveikas in Hashem than Torah and mitzvah. Yeah. But you're not allowed to ask for it. If you ask for it, you will fail 100%.
Like the rabbi's sick and the
doctor says to him, he has to eat, and he likes starts jumping around and dancing all over the place, clapping, and now he's so happy he can serve Hashem that way. By eating. Right. That's the situation. Hashem puts you in, 100%. You put yourself in there, oy vavoy. Yeah. We sometimes feel the opposite. Oh, Hashem's punishing me, because I did something bad, so now he's giving me Surim, and therefore I can't learn, and therefore I can't. There's a Moedika Toyma Devora on this Nakuda, a very interesting Toyma Devora in Chedek Base. He says, everyone Megele, everyone Yisurim. Everyone's done Aveiros, and everybody's got problems, and Megele, everybody Yisurim. Problem is, Yisurim takes you away from Avodas Hashem very often. Okay? He says, therefore, you should daven for Yisurim that doesn't take you away from Avodas Hashem. Like people insulting you, people embarrassing you. He said, that person should daven for that Yisurim. Not that you daven for Yisurim, but that if I'm going to get Yisurim, give me the kind of Yisurim that frees me up to carry on getting on with my life. If I get a migraine, I'm incapacitated, I can't learn, okay, fine. That's, but I can have all the Yisurimas in the world and still have the other Derek and have the Derek of Torah and Mitzvahs. Get guys to insult me and embarrass me, my chpatli. You know, go back to Gemara, go, you know, go open your Gemara, go daven, go learn, go get stock of my. A dog barked at you, so now you stop learning? What? We know it doesn't always work like that. Guy insults you and you can't daven, you can't learn, and you're boiling and you're coughing. He says, why? Should be the happiest person in the world when people insult you. You know how many migraines are just wiped out? You're going to get a migraine. I said to Achal Ebrachim, I'll get this guy to insult you. Oh, insulting. Tzah. There's no question about it. There's tzah there. But it doesn't capacitate you. So now you're the best of both worlds. You had the surim and you don't lose the Torah and mitzvahs. So I'll stay in the Torah and mitzvahs. There'll be a businessman in Yiddishkeit.
The surim is also tikkun. That means...
For sure. That's part of the simcha of it. That's why it's so precious. The Chofetz Chaim once said it. He said there was a chassan in Radin, and for some reason the band never arrived. You know, the fiddle on the roof, whatever, whoever the band was.
Oh, the band.
Whoever the band, the klezmer.
Whoever the bang, band. The bang.
The tizmoret, the six-piece band, whatever, never arrived for whatever reason. So the bochum got together, whatever, with pots and pans, and they made some music or whatever. So the Chofetz Chaim said, he said, that's what a Lama Ba without Yisurim looks like. It looks like a chasana without the band. There's no music. He said, a Lama Ba without Yisurim is a chasana without the music. It's a chasana, it's very happy, whatever, the state. If there's no music, it's a bit like flat coat. Yep. The Surim also wipes out a lot of the Averos, and also it comes onto the side of the Shchiyot in just the clinical, technical cheshbon of mitzvahs and Averos. If you've got more Averos than mitzvahs, Chalila, they dump the Surim onto the side of the mitzvahs. So that also gets cheshboned out.
It sounds like God really not giving Surim, it means rather our tefillah is rather be in there than.
Yes, well, I don't understand the Surya properly to be able to draw too many conclusions. Yeah, according to that, but I'm not sure that I have the basic principles in place to apply too much halakhic. But certainly, ma'ira, a desire to learn more. That's no question. I have to understand the Surya properly. Tonus of Rom has a whole ma'idika mahalak in the Surya. And why and how and where. It's very hard. The Torah of Rom, the Avram Brzezinski. The Slobodka Mashgiach. Revolbi's brother-in-law, he was martyred in the Kovna Getzer together with Rebbe Chonon and the Kovna Rov. I think Eish Kodesh was also in the Kovna Getzer when they were killed. I think he was also there at the time, huh? I think Eish Kodesh was... Huh? Because I think they'd fled. I think they were in Kovna. I think so. I can't remember. I'll check. I think he was also part of that group that was marking the Kovna Getter. Conrad Brzezinski. His son, Shoshan Brzezinski, lives in Bnei Brak.
Really?
Yeah. When he's my next door neighbor's father-in-law. He, when we started the yeshiva, we called the Torah of Rom.
Really?
We called the Torah of Rom. So I got a call from him the one day to say, Zilob Beseder Masita.
Really?
What you did is not Beseder. I said, why not? He said, because my father was the Torah of Rom, and I have a koilin in Bnei Brak called Torah of Rom. So, will you please change the name of the yeshiva?
Really?
So, I said, on condition that you daven for that sloch of the yeshiva. He's a great man. No, I knew who he was. I said, with pleasure, I'll change it. You're asking me in Shumbaya. I don't want to cause you tzar. I said, on condition that you daven for that sloch of the yeshiva, we'll change it to Ora of Rom.
You didn't, Torah of Rom had nothing to do with Avram, that rabbi you're talking about.
Avram Avinu.
No.
Avram Kaczynski. Yeah, yeah. The Torah Sofram was.
Now I'm saying, but you didn't name it.
We named it after the Torah Sofram. We named it after the Sefer, the Torah Sofram. That was what it was named after. It's amazing Sefer. It's very hard. It's a real. Litvish Rosh Hashiva learning of Musa Sugyot. You know, it's a long dish of hard Sefer to learn. Huh? God discussed it with him. No, it causes problems with fundraising. There are many problems. The copyright on the Sefer belongs to the family. No, halachically, I don't think I did anything wrong. I don't think halachically, if I'd said I'm not going to take me to Beis Din, they couldn't force me to change the name. Unless he could prove mamash damage at a fundraising level, which I doubt. But why go upset to God will be so? He's hurting him, he's upsetting him. He was born in Slovodka, Rabbi Yitzchak. It's a fantastic, he's not well. He was Reb Aaron Leib's next door neighbor for 60 years. The walls, he was Zeicher to be Aaron Leib's neighbor for 60 years. Lived in the same floor, a little 60 square meter diras at that point. In fact, his son-in-law told me that his wife, who's the daughter, it's always on Thursday, we used to always tell stories in the show on Thursday.
It was every day.
She wouldn't eat when she was a baby, she wouldn't eat. So Aaron Leib used to come in every day and feed her, the only person that she would take food from. Yeah. Was Aaron Leib. So Aaron Leib used to come in every day and feed her for like 10, 15 minutes. That's what he was busy doing. You know Rav Lehman, he's a Magid Shir in Porush.
Who?
Rav Porush has a yeshiva Ketaniya, so the Shia Gimel Rebbe is a Rav Daniel Lima. He's a youth from Tifrach, he comes with me every day. So it's Ishle, his father-in-law. So he told me this story, the one that used to feed his wife when she was a baby, because she didn't eat, so the only one she would take food from was Rav Aaron Leib. That's a gadol. That's the gadol, all right. Huh? He was probably popped in and whatever. It's like, good, let me give you some food. And then she took, or maybe he knew that. I don't know, gave you some whatever. That's what happens with neighbors.
It's not like, you know, you call down and say, you have a food
expert. Maybe he came for advice.
Could be he was rolling on the floor with a baby. I don't know. Yeah, there's a Rav in South Africa, I think he's left, he lives now, or whatever. Pulpit Rabbi, one of the pulpit rabbis, an absolute genius, but whatever, pulpit rabbi. So he was very close to Rav Moshe, very close to Rav Moshe. And he was a tough New York street kind of guy, whatever. The Rebbetzin always used to call him to be there when there was like, meetings could get heavy, whatever. The Rebbetzin always wanted him there, you know, just to protect Rav Moshe, whatever. You see, how many times I went to Rav Moshe's house and he was rolling on the floor with the grandchildren and playing ball with them and whatever. Yeah. That's the gutless. That's the sad. You know what it's like in Eretz Yisrael. The neighbor's girl was in his house and they were in her house and they were all playing the chotzer together. Whatever. I don't know. Someone mentioned, well, you know, Chanel is not eating well or whatever. So Rav said, well, let me try. You know?
Real people.
Rebbetzin Altsky, get Rebbetzin Altsky to talk about her father, about Rav Shandra. He was the Masmit's Masmit. I mean, by Rav Elashev's standards of Smadi, he was a Masmit.
Rav Scheinberg?
Yeah, he was the Masmit's Masmit.
Really?
What are you talking about? He's a Smadi, was legendary. In the Mir, it was legendary. When he went to the Mir, he was really legendary as a Masmit. You don't become that great without being a Masmit. Managed to hide himself very well, so we think of him as, you know, another Choshuva Poisek Rosh Hashiva. He was from the Gedoli Ador. But you listen to Rebbetzin Altsky, his daughter, speaking about how, you know, who took them to the beach on Friday and who got up in the middle of the night to give them water and who, Schoenberg. He used liquid soap because it lathered quicker. So when he had to wash his hands, it didn't cause so much bitter flavor. And he wasn't a petty man. It wasn't like he was being obsessive. He just fitted. You know, if you get liquid soap with this hard Israeli soap, it could save a minute. You know how much learning I can do in a minute. get a few things like that. Simcha said Rabbi Chanan had a cheshbon like that with his shoes. He had shoes without laces. The Rebbetzin gave them away and bought him shoes with laces. He was very upset because the tying the laces was on the cheshbon of his learning. Don't you wish you had such problems? Have a good Shabbos. And this was a man who would take his toolkit and go down to the shul and fix the windows and fix the door and change the locks.
Who's this?
The snake.